This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's a good Friday for an economic chat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Before the holiday weekend and Monday's Easter egg roll at the White House, there's some business that needs to be done. President Obama will meet today with his top economic advisors, people like Fed Chief Ben Bernanke, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, and FDIC Chair Sheila Bair will be there. The group will take on the unemployment rate, the bank stress tests the government's been conducting, and mortgage refinancing. And as some signs here and there are pointing to a possible turnaround, the agenda will also include a look at how well stimulus efforts are working. No trading today on Wall Street or in Europe because of Good Friday. The Dow picked up 246 points yesterday, just over 3%, to close at 8,083. The Nasdaq and S&P both closed nearly 4% higher. Major markets in Asia closed higher today. That's thanks in part to a new stimulus announcement in Japan. The package calls for $150 billion in government spending. Jeff Kingston teaches Asian studies at Temple University in Tokyo and is with us now. Professor Kingston, what's the goal behind this package?
What they're trying to do is stimulate consumption. And what they're also trying to do then is also put money in the pockets of people who are losing their jobs, giving them housing subsidies, training subsidies. All these things are temporary measures which are meant to jolt the economy back into life, because really it's very dire here.
When you look closely at some of the things you mentioned, support for the jobless, loans for hard-pressed small businesses in there, and subsidies for green initiatives like solar panels, it sounds an awful lot like what President Obama had just recently put on the table in the U.S.
Well, I guess he had a lot of good ideas and decided to borrow from him. I think that it took some time to put this initiative together. But one of the key things, though, is the social safety net in Japan is really inadequate to deal with a lot of these workers who are losing their jobs, because up until now, in the post-war period, the government never really had to worry, because businesses kept faith with their workers through thick and thin. But now they are shedding these workers, and suddenly the government's confronting the challenge of trying to address their needs.
So do you think this will have the effect that the government hopes it will?
Well, it's very interesting that the chief of the economic team, Mr. Yosano, who unveiled this package, would say, well, you know, don't expect a lot from this. This is not going to really kick in until towards the end of the year. And what it's going to lead to is a few bright spots. So they're already talking down expectations, which I thought was rather interesting, given that this is the largest economic stimulus they've ever had. And it's going to lead to the government issuing a record level of bonds to fund this deficit.
Jeff Kingston teaches at Temple University in Tokyo. He's the author of Japan's Quiet Revolution: Politics, Economics, and Society. Professor Kingston, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com.
California is facing its worst drought in more than 15 years. Water rationing could cost the state's agricultural industry more than $2 billion and 40,000 jobs. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Jennifer Collins reports on the water market.
Mike Young checks on his almonds just about every day.
I crack it. See, the nut's just starting to form.
Trouble is, Young's trees aren't getting what they need. California's been in a drought for 3 years, and the water he depends on from the state is down to a trickle.
Essentially, we're going thirsty. Just be like you and I, if we were thirsty and we could only drink a little bit, but we wanted a whole lot, we're only going to get the little bit to drink.
The state's system of reservoirs and canals and environmental regulations is so complex, some farmers say water has become expensive and volatile in the same way gasoline is.
My reaction to that is he's absolutely right, except the fact I think it's finally starting to reach its correct price.
Richard Howitt is a resource economist at the University of California, Davis. He says cheap and abundant water helped California's Central Valley become one of the most productive farming regions in the world. But the place is a near desert, and the supply of water is limited. He says high demand there should make water more expensive. And more expensive water could lead to more conservation.
If somebody can sell their water for significantly more than they can make growing a cheap crop on it, then they're going to use it better.
Mike Young has installed sprinklers like this one that target water directly to the root of his trees. California has started a drought bank to help farmers who have water sell it to farmers who don't. But Young says for him to buy into the bank, the state needs to guarantee it will deliver the water when he needs it. So far, it can't. Bob Aldridge of the drought bank says the water trades are at least a start.
Whether the drought water bank continues or not, the population continues to grow. There will be a demand for water, I believe.
Other drought-stricken places from Texas to Australia are watching to see how to feed their own thirsty crops. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
From water to wine, California wines are actually selling really well right now. But things are a little less flush for French wines. From Paris, Anita Elash reports.
If you bought one of the top grades of Grand Bordeaux wine last year, it probably set you back at least a couple of $100. This year, you might try looking for it in the bargain basement. Even the best-known chateaus have slashed prices by at least 40%. Producers say the bottom has fallen out of the luxury wine market. Restaurants and hotels can't sell the Bordeaux they already have in stock, so they're not buying any extra. Other French wines are suffering, too. Even champagne has lost its sparkle. Sales have dropped between 10 and 30% since September. French producers say it's not the end of the world, though. 2008 wasn't a great vintage year anyway. They figure people will eventually drink the wine in their cellars, and then they'll be primed for more. In Paris, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
Here's a toast to a good weekend. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.